Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. As always, appreciate that introduction, and thank you for tuning us in here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and you would be invited to come worship with us anytime at the Wood Church of Christ that you do have that opportunity afforded unto you. We're studying the book of Exodus here. This is our 70th program in this format here on this station. And what we're doing is we're looking at the book of Exodus. We're going chapter by chapter, thought by thought, verse by verse sometimes. And we're in a lesson that I've titled Moses from the Sea to the Song to Sinai, covering the events happened right after the crossing of the Red Sea, leading up to the receiving of the Ten Commandments, which happens in the 20th chapter. So we're covering chapters 15 through 19. Now, last week, we had just talked about the Song of Moses, and we also talked about the receiving of food, the manna, the quail that God provided for his people. Let us begin now in Exodus chapter 17. The Bible says, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys. According to the Lord, to the commandment of the Lord, they pitched in Rephidim. There was once again no sustainable drinking water for the people. And so they're tempting God. They're murmuring again against God Almighty. Verse 3, the people therefore thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? The people are complaining. They said, once again, you've brought us out in the wilderness to die. Moses turned to the Lord. He said, Lord, what shall I do? They're almost ready to stone me. God, I need some help from you. And God says to Moses, go on before the people. Take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, which we talked about in the 14th chapter. Take it in your hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb. Now, Horeb is also Mount Sinai. It's also called the Mount of God. He says, you shall smite the rock, and there will come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God told Moses here, you stand before the rock and you hit it. A pretty simple command, if you ask me. He already had that staff, and fresh drinking water would flow out of that. They named the place Massa and Meribah. Massa means temptation, and Meribah means chiding or strife. Now, the book of Numbers, which is something that, Lord willing, I hope to revisit in this program series soon, they come back to the waters of Meribah, and there Moses disobeys God's commands. But notice with me in verse 9, and I'm going to show you something I have marked in my Bible that you may want to mark in yours. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Well, they need to fight against the Amalekites. Those are the people of Amalek. But I have the name Joshua underlined in my copy of God's Word, and I'll tell you why. And beside it, I have first mention. See, this is the same Joshua, friends, that's going to go up on the mount with Moses when he will officially receive the Ten Commandments. This is the same Joshua that was a spy, will be a spy. This is the same Joshua who takes over as the successor to Moses. This is the same Joshua that bears a book, the sixth one in the Bible that bears his name. It's pretty significant, if you ask me, about Joshua. So Joshua did as Moses said to him. He fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And notice, the Bible says it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. So Moses' hands, they were heavy. They took a stone, put it under him, he sat thereon, and then Aaron and Hur, his brother and a very close friend, they stayed on his hands, the one on one side and the one on the other. His hands were steady till the going down of the sun. See, if Moses, because he had that staff of God, if his hands were up in the air, then his enemies were losing the battle. The Israelites were winning. But if, you know, gravity, your arm gets tired after a while, that acid builds up in your arms and whatnot, science related. After a while, if your arms get tired, he'd want to let them down. And then they started losing their battles. So Aaron and Hur, they decided, well, we'll just make it plain and simple. We will stand here, we'll brace these things. Verse 13, Joshua is leading the battle with the edge of the sword. Then as they end out this chapter, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. Now Jehovah is the name for the Lord, so it literally means the Lord is my banner. He said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Literally there, because the hand of Amalek is against the throne of the Lord, therefore, they're going to go to battle generation after generation after generation. But I find it interesting. I just helped in your ears to fulfill this. Write it for a memorial. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, and then by extrapolation, the ears of all the people. They all needed to hear these things. So it was commanded unto them. We're going to have to pause our study here for just a minute. We will continue. We're looking at the 18th chapter of Exodus. I've got that one simply titled The Advice. And advice comes from a somewhat unlikely place. If you want to catch any of the replay of this episode or any of the others in our series, they're all on my website, downloadable free or streamable for free for you, online at thejustinreedshow.com. That's thejustinreedshow.com. Click on the left there towards the bottom of that list where it says programs, and then you'll see Reading the Word and other programs I'm involved in. You can listen to them, download them at your convenience. Stay with us. We'll look at Exodus 18 next on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Once again, thank you, Brother Dearman, and thank you so much for sticking around to Reading the Word. If you're just now joining us, we're in the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. I simply have this one titled in my notes, The Advice. The Bible says, when Jethro, the priest of Midian, that's Moses' father-in-law, heard that all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons. The name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the other name was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was mine help. She delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. We'll keep going, this one sentence. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. That's Mount Sinai. That's Mount Horeb. And he said unto Moses, I am thy father-in-law Jethro. He says, I'm come to thee with your wife and the two sons with her. That's one sentence. Let's pause here. What has happened? See, Moses has a wife. Her name is Zipporah. The Bible says she is a Midianite because Jethro is the priest of Midian. Now, who is Midian? Well, if you remember Father Abraham, he had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. That's a song we sing at Vacation Bible School and at camps. But it's true because he had the son of promise. He had Isaac before that. He had the son of trying to circumvent God's rule. That is Ishmael. Well, after Sarah dies, Abraham remarries in Genesis 25 to Keturah, and one of the many sons she bears him, his name is Midian. So these are distant kin to the Israelites. He is a priest. We don't exactly know what his priestly duties were, but he is a priest nonetheless. And that's his father-in-law. See, when Moses' father-in-law, when he heard everything that God had been doing for him, he wants to go see him and all the things like that. Now, notice in verse 8, Moses told his father-in-law all the Lord had done unto Pharaoh, to the Egyptians, for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. You see, Jethro, the Bible says Jethro had heard what had happened, but can you only imagine, friends, hearing the man that was there telling the story? It'd be like if you could have walked up to Adam and said, Adam, what was it like when God created you, or when he created woman, or when you named all those animals in the Garden of Eden? Now Jethro is rejoicing at all that God had done. Now this I know, says Jethro, verse 11, the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing that wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. See, he knows who is the true, one, only God. Now it came to pass on the morrow, verse 13, that Moses sat to judge the people. The people stood by Moses from the morning to the evening. He would be a judge. He would solve quarrels, disputes, debates, and the like. This was a very taxing job, no doubt, on Moses. The Bible tells us that they were there from all day long, from morning until evening. So what is a man to do? Well, notice what Jethro says, verses 14 through 23. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening? And Moses said, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. They have a matter. They come to me. I judge between one another. And I do not make them know the statutes of God. I do make them know, the statutes of God and his laws. And his father-in-law said to him, the thing that you're doing, surely it is good. You will surely wear away both you and the people that is with you, for this thing is too heavy for you to perform it by yourself alone. Listen now, or hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God, that thou should teach them ordinances and law, shall show them the way wherein they must walk, the work they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, ones that fear God. Of truth, they have hate covetousness, and placing such over them to be rulers of thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. It shall be that great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. It'll be easy for thyself, they will bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, the God command thee so, thou shalt be able to endure. All this people shall go from their place to place. He says, you need help, Moses. They're bringing you trivial stuff. Why not appoint some people who know the law and let them be the mediators? Let them be the judge. And if it's something bad enough, they can still come get you. Verse 24, he listens to his father-in-law. And he did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel, made them heads over people of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. Really, that just makes sense. You've got a man who's receiving direct revelation from God. That's Moses. He needs to be where he can receive that instead of dealing with matters of possessions or what we might think smaller things like that. Verse 26, now Moses can focus on leading God's people. And he let his father-in-law depart, and he went into his own land. That's Exodus chapter 18, and I have that titled, The Advice. Friends, we need to remind ourselves that advice can come from strange places, I doubt. Moses expected such great advice to come from his father-in-law, but it did nonetheless, and I'm glad for Moses' sake that he heeded that advice. Now, next time we get to study together, because I do not have time to begin. Well, I could begin, but I don't want to get too far into the 19th chapter. So next week, we will approach the Mount of God, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. I have it titled my notes, The Mountain. See, we've been working from the sea to Song of Sinai, and we're going to make it, Lord willing, next week. Until then, I do appreciate your attentiveness in our lesson today. I pray that it has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.